Embrace the Word for Wednesday, May 27, 2026. Embracing Psalm 69. Psalm 69 is the prayer of a man facing hot hatred and harmful hostility. The superscription for this Psalm of David does not offer a specific historical context. To the choir master, according to Lilies of David. While there are no details in the superscription, it is apparent from the content of the psalm that David is experiencing great distress. Psalms 69 through 71 are all linked by the context of distress, in which notions of disgrace ring through each psalm. 69:6, 72, 71:1, and 13. After notes of triumph expressed in Psalms 65 through 68, the return of notions of difficulties and distress are perhaps a reminder that not only did David face troubles throughout his life, he also kept turning to the Lord until the end. The description, according to Lilies, is probably a musical comment in regard to the song used. Psalm 69 begins with a long segment that is a prayer of desperation, 69:1 through 28, and it concludes with a short segment that is a promise of deliverance, 69:29 through 36. Psalm 69 opens with an urgent and desperate cry for help. Save me, O God, 69:1. In addition to this opening plea, notice verse 3. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for God. 69:3. David's distress is an extended difficulty. While we are unsure of the circumstances, we do know that David faced a couple of acute crises toward the end of his rule. David had to experience an attempted coup by his own son Absalom, see 2 Samuel 15 through 19, and he faced a threat to his reign from the plans of Sheba, a Benjaminite, see 2 Samuel 20. While David does not identify the context of his afflictions, he does describe the experience of it. For the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I come into deep waters, and floods sweep over me. 69:1-2. David likens the experience of his troubles to that of drowning in a flood. The horrors and helplessness of being outnumbered by enemies is depicted as being overtaken by rushing floodwaters. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God! You know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. 69:4-5. While David acknowledges that he is not without guilt, the malicious attacks of his enemies are groundless. In this particular situation, lies about David forged the plan of attack against him. David is concerned with what David is concerned with next is of much more significance. Even as David admits that he is deserving of reproach, his burden is not so much for himself, but for his people who earnestly seek the Lord. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame. Through me, O Lord, God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor. Through me, O God of Israel. 69:6. David knows that God's people are so closely identified with God's king that as the king goes, so goes the people. Thus, David does not want shame or disgrace to be upon the people because of his situation. For the Lord's sake, David would gladly welcome whatever shame or disgrace there is in this situation to be upon him. For it is for your sake that I have been born reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. 69:7-8. David knew that such reproach would even mean alienation from his own family. Because of his devotion to the Lord, David asserts that he would take on himself such reproach. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. 69:9. Nevertheless, David's willingness to take on disgrace and shame for the Lord's sake does not mean that receiving ridicule does not leave its mark on him. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and drunkards make songs about me. 69:10-12. As David displayed all the signs of true repentance before the Lord, his enemies simply used the noble things that he did to validate their hatred against him by not merely dismissing him, but mocking him with their cruel songs. And even though David feels as if he is drowning in difficulty and distress, poured out over him through shame and disgrace, David is resolute. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. 69:13. David began with a cry to save him, and having now just described his acute predicament, he renews his plea to the Lord for deliverance. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. 69:14-15. Restating the language from verse 2 as he described his experience as drowning, David's focus, which is what is empowering his prayer, is the Lord's steadfast love and sure faithfulness. David is not minimizing the danger that he is in, but neither is he allowing his dire circumstances to eclipse his concentration on the Lord. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. 69:16-18. But as sure as David is looking to the Lord, he reveals the reality of his misery. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. 69:19-21. David knows that his God welcomes him to pour out his troubles to him, seeing that there is no one else, indicating a desire to offer comfort and compassion. In fact, not only was there no one else to offer aid, those through whom it might have come from only added harshness to his troubles, creating additional harm. As David continues pouring out his troubles to the Lord, he shifts from describing his misery and begins pleading what he sees needs to be done in regard to his enemies. David offers an intense string of curses and judgments. The details of David's prayers all line up with the justice of God. And while we might be taken back by the severity of David's requests, we should keep in mind that these enemies of David, who is God's anointed king, are actually enemies of God, and justice is certain for those who oppose the Lord. But perhaps another thing to keep in mind is that the stating of these just petitions might serve as a kind of warning to lead the wicked to repentance. While God's enemies have no right to God's blessing, only God's curses, any and all who repent from their sin and wickedness will receive mercy from the Lord. With that said, here are the 7 verses of judgment on the wicked. Let their own table before them become a snare. When they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see. Make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. 69:22-28. David doesn't take judgment into his own hands. He asks the Lord to take action and judge these men. These are frightening punishments as David asks God to blind them, disable them with fear, pour out his anger, cut off their descendants, and do not grant them any proximity to the righteous after they die. This is not an emotional outburst. David is not being hateful here. He is speaking as in line with God's justice, because these judgments must come on anyone who sets himself against God. David briefly returns to his misery as he offers one last plea. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. 69:29. David calls upon the Lord to save him by setting him high above the mire and deep waters. 69:2-14-15. After this plea, a massive change of mood occurs. A determination to praise the Lord erupts. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. 69:30-31. David reflects the proper understanding that the Lord is pleased more by grateful praise than he is merely by offering a sacrifice. David also grasps that as he praises the Lord for his deliverance, others will be encouraged and strengthened. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. 69:32-33. Others will seek the Lord as they know of the Lord's work in David's life. In fact, as David resolves to praise the Lord, fresh hope fills him, and refreshed desire forms in him a vision of Mount Zion in all of its glory. Let heaven and earth praise you, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. 69:34-36. As we reflect on Psalm 69, we should consider how this psalm is used to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's direct quotes or less direct allusions, Psalm 69 is used no less than 15 times in the New Testament concerning Christ. While Psalm 69 is not the most quoted psalm about Jesus in the New Testament, it certainly becomes clear that David was not merely speaking of his own difficulties and distresses. David's life was a preview of his greater Son. Thus, David's difficulties and distresses provide us a glimpse into the things that Jesus would face. In an interesting twist, it seems probable that Jesus even learned how to make sense of his own difficulties and distresses from reading about them in the Psalms as they were described through David's life. Psalm 69 is just one psalm that would have provided much self-understanding to Jesus. David said regarding his enemies, "Those who hate me without cause," 69:4, which echoes what Jesus said regarding his enemies. "They hated me without a cause." See John 15:25. But Psalm 69 also provides us with much insight into Jesus' life on earth. Jesus, the promised king from David's line, would be remembered by his disciples as one of whom it was said, "Zeal for your house will consume me." See John 2:17, quoting Psalm 69:9. Jesus, too, would be the object of scorn as he experienced, "The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." See Romans 15:3, quoting Psalm 69:9. Just as it was said that David's enemies gave him sour wine to drink, 69:22, each of the gospel recounts record that Jesus was offered wine to drink mixed with gall, but he refused. See Matthew 27:34. See also Mark 15:36, Luke 23:36, and John 19:29. David spoke of being mocked. "I am the talk of those who sit at the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me." 69:12. The mockery that Jesus faced, which is carefully recorded, fulfills what David spoke of. "And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!'" See Matthew 27:28-29. Even David's prayers for just judgment upon his enemies, 69:22-28, is applied in the New Testament to those who are hardened against Christ and his gospel. See Romans 11:9-11, Revelation 16:1, Acts 1:16-20, Philippians 4:3, Revelation 3:5, 13:8, 17:8, and 20:12-15. We should grow in our realization that even though we are reading the Psalter, which was written hundreds of years before the arrival of Christ, we are nevertheless reading about Jesus. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." See Luke 24:44. That's all for Embrace the Word for Wednesday, May 27, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Friday, May 29, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 70.